Today's episode is brought to you by Harry's. Please visit harrys.com/cadcast to claim your free trial set. That's harrys.com/cadcast. Traveling in a fight up from me. On a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down here? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 492. I'm your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by the man who is the new voice of ukulele, Wombat.
Hooray. Sorry, I'm falling apart. So I apologize to our listeners.
Already, right at this moment, you're falling apart?
Yes. Well, you know, excuse me.
Evidence.
I have a bit of a cold and I threw out my back. So, I don't know, I'm here. So that's got to count for something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're exceeding all expectations, Wombat.
Exactly. Already I've gone above and beyond.
By walking into your living room.
What'd you do to throw out your back? Is it laughable?
I don't know. I feel like I was just at my son's parent-teacher night, and I spent like a half hour in a kindergarten chair. And I don't know if that's enough.
Is that the kind that has like the desk built into it?
No, it's just a chair that's really small.
Why would they have adults sitting on those?
It seems like that's a bad idea for the chairs. I know. They don't have chairs for adults in there. I honestly don't know.
They can support the adults. They're metal.
And it could just be
chairs? Okay.
It could just be a combination of that plus the cold. Maybe. I honestly.
The general stress that you're feeling and your psyche is trying to sell it to you as sitting in the chair, but the reality is it's just the stress in your life. Mind over back pain. Dr. John Sarno.
Great. You know what's not going away?
What? Me.
The stress in my life.
Right. It doesn't need to go away. You just need to recognize it as such, and then the pain will go away.
I recognize it. I'm still in pain.
It takes a little more than that.
Then this sounds like bullshit to me.
You have to... I am a living convert.
Excellent.
Have you tried learning Kung Fu?
I was going to go to Kunlun for winter break. So maybe I'll do that.
They can call you Iron Back.
Iron Back. They call me Iron Something.
Oi, my back.
Oi, my back.
We're going to be talking about Iron Fist later.
I will use my special move, the sore back of many Jews.
Oh, boy. Kazoo. Shipwreck, apologize for Wombat. Please.
I'm sorry that you had to hear Wombat say that.
Thank you.
That's good.
I didn't write anything. I don't know. Is there anything going on in your lives that's interesting? I'm trying to think if there's anything going on in mine that's besides.
I just told you I have a cold.
No,
and
that's,
now I have
that's
the
not
hiccups.
Interesting.
I have the hiccups now.
How about a nosebleed?
Give me an hour before the show is over. There will be blood.
What's the sign say on how many days without a nosebleed currently?
I'm pretty good. I actually haven't had any this winter. I think it's like, I think I officially just handed it off to Sabrina. So it's not my problem anymore.
Wait,
I think
she's
it's how
getting
it works.
Them now?
Yeah, it's a curse.
Oh, man.
So it went from me to her. She gets some, she's gotten a couple this winter. Usually in her sleep. So, Yep. What can you do?
Well, I guess we got a lot to get to this week. So maybe we'll just jump right into the show feedback.
Works for me. Not Maya has to say, I like the even-handed discussion on the YouTube stuff this week, last week. I have listened to Colin and Greg on their podcast for a long time, and it feel like some of the hate he got was unwarranted. Specifically, the folks who jumped on him for being racist when his milquetoast sexist tweet blew up. But even though I enjoyed them on PS Podcast, he is kind of an asshole. It was really entertaining to see Arthur Guy shit on him on Twitter, because while I actually really like him on Rebel FN, he is kind of an asshole too. No two people I listen to remind me as much of each other as those two. They just lean different ways politically. Not you guys, though. Your podcast is one of my favorites because you are just a bunch of average jerks around my age who always have reasonable takes on stuff like this. Keep doing your thing. See, we're reasonable.
Yeah.
I doesn't get the big money, though. We need to go full
seriously. I looked at that Patreon page once out of curiosity, and I will never do that again.
It was too much.
I honestly don't know much about him at all.
Me neither.
Just know what, like, I've seen his posts on Twitter, which is what I said last week. I've seen his posts on Twitter. He didn't really do anything for me personally, so I don't know.
I've never listened to one of his podcasts. I've never met him personally. I don't have much of an opinion because I don't know enough to have one.
Well, a general opinion is fine to have, and I think that we did a good job discussing it. I would say that, you know, one thing that I think about is what really set people off on Colin, I guess, was that he put out that tweet, that, you know, a joke tweet, which wasn't like, you know, a terribly offensive tweet. It was, you know, it is what it is.
It was like a bad dad joke more than anything else.
Sure. But clearly people were offended by it. And rather than just say, okay, you know, I'm sorry if I offended you with my horrible joke. I didn't mean to upset anybody. It was just supposed to be funny. He just went in the other direction, I guess, and was like, oh, you guys, I don't know, whatever term you want to use, generalized term you want to use that conservative people use, you could throw that in there. I don't know. I just don't see what the big deal is about apologizing just in general if you've upset people. I don't know what that really costs you as a person.
I think what I've heard before, and I guess it's, you know, it rings true in this scenario, is just because you unintentionally offended someone doesn't mean you didn't offend someone. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't necessarily apologize if you truly offended someone.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't mean, I'm talking just in generally. I'm not talking just about Colin. I just don't know what the big deal is, like, right? What does that cost you as a person? Like your ego? That's not even a real thing. I mean, the real thing is if somebody really thought it was shitty and thinks that you're a horrible person now, is it really that bad to say, oh, you know, I'm sorry about that, and maybe alleviate some of that thought from people's minds? Is that such a horrible thing to do?
Yes, I don't, no apologies.
No apologies. Yeah. Double down? I mean,
that's my philosophy is if you do something terrible, just keep doing it.
Or if you do something that's not that terrible, just
probably just like maybe up the ante next time.
Right. Or deny that it's even a little bit terrible.
Denying's good.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we're older and we're past that phase in our lives, maybe.
I that's certainly part of it, I think.
I realize that I'm wrong a lot. And, you know, if you upset somebody, apologizing will make everybody feel better. I just don't know what the big deal is.
Anyway, enough about that. I heard you were going to apologize for Iron Fist.
Yes, let's talk about Iron Fist and get to watch this bitches as soon as possible because I've been thinking about it a lot this week.
Shiprick and I know very much that you've been thinking a lot about Iron Fist. It's occupied a lot of my reading time, thanks to you.
And just to start with, I've only seen 3 episodes of it.
Okay, I've seen 7.
Oh, me too.
Okay.
My episodes, I knew that you guys would be watching it, so I decided when I was up at 3 a.m. doing feedings that would be my my go-to.
I remember what it feels like at those times. You can't really enjoy anything at that time.
It's not that bad.
Well, you were talking about different people, though. You're someone who sleeps. Shipwreck hasn't slept probably since 1987.
I don't sleep much.
All right.
So it's
two different animals.
Yeah. So I started off, I did not watch beyond the first episode of any of the other Marvel ones. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I watched the first episode of Luke Cage and the first episode of Jessica Jones. I thought they were well done, but just not my thing.
Not done well enough for you.
No, well, that's... In general, I'm not a TV guy.
Didn't want to watch it. It's fine.
Yeah, I just didn't want to watch it. It just wasn't... The tone wasn't what I wanted.
Okay.
And it gets confusing to me that these are still part of the same universe as what the movies are. Just because the tone is just so different.
Yeah.
These are a little grittier, I guess.
Well, they're grittier. They're more boring because they're spread out over...
Yes.
Over 13 hours instead of 2.5.
Yeah. I mean, and I said this to someone I had a conversation on Twitter about this today. My personal criticism for all of the Netflix Marvel shows, and so far it's been true for every single one, is that they try to tell one story over 13 episodes when they don't need 13 episodes to ever tell any of these stories. And I personally think it would be great. I think it would be better if I was... You know, the person in charge. It should be 2 6-episode chunks. And in the middle, they should do like a one shot. If you're a comic book nerd, just a standalone episode.
That makes sense.
In the middle.
Since they are comic books, that's kind of standard arc type thing. Or,
yeah.
Like, even.
Yes, a standard year comic book.
My taste would be
books.
Like maybe something happens in an episode.
Yeah. Well,
maybe
that's.
You don't have to watch 3 episodes for something to happen.
That's the problem with doing the 13 episodes. If it was 6 episodes, the momentum would be a little bit stronger. And then again, you'd have that something in the middle to kind of like cleanse your palate, and then you go into something else.
That said, I watched one episode of Iron Fist, and I was not opposed to watching more of it because it felt more like similar in tone to what TV dramas are. Like,
that goes away.
It didn't feel like a Netflix type thing.
That's going to go away.
No, I don't think it necessarily goes away that much. And I don't think that Shipwreck's wrong. I think it in many ways, it probably may have more in common with The Good Wife than it does with...
Dude, it's so hyper-violent. I can't even look at the screen.
The violence-y, but it's not really all... I find it to be too far between.
Dude.
It's
disgusting.
Think it's too far between.
I can't even look at it.
No, the graphic, when the violence is there, it's graphic for graphic's sake, but I don't think it's, I think that there's a lot more office drama that's unnecessary than there is graphic violence.
But, okay, that's fine. I'd say that all of these Netflix Marvel shows are very similar. You can argue about like which have better stories and which have better action sequences, and that's all up for debate, but... They all have weaknesses, and I think Wombat hit the nail on the head, is that they're telling too much story and you don't need to hear all that stuff. And all of these things have too much scenes in offices. Daredevil had the same thing. I remember going...
This one seems a little more... the word I want to use is like antiseptic. It's a little too clean. It's a little too... I feel like every other scene is in that boardroom where it's just people sitting around a big wooden desk. Next to some windows.
Well, you have that. You have like a clean apartment, and you have a lot of hospital scenes so far from what I've seen. So it's a lot of clean environments.
Yeah, and it's sort of weird. And don't get me wrong.
Isn't New York City
this.
That clean? Like everywhere?
Inside.
Actually,
it
depends. I think that's what they were trying to do with this series. In my opinion, bringing it back from last week, what I think they were trying to do to separate this show from the other ones is, you know, each show, each one of these Marvel series is supposed to show you a different slice of what's in Manhattan and how different people live in Manhattan and how diverse it really is. From Daredevil's Hell's Kitchen, which is kind of dirty and grimy,
so
even though that Hell's
there
Kitchen
don't have iPhones.
Yeah, even I mean, in Hell's Kitchen like that doesn't even really exist anymore. But there are still places in Manhattan that are like that, so it's not way off base. To Luke Cage's Harlem, which is its own microcosm in itself. To this sort of upper class, high rise world, which is it's this ivory tower clean world, which does in fact exist in Manhattan. And I think that that's what they were trying to highlight, but I don't know if they necessarily did it good enough or well enough.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I think there's a lot of transitions that I'm just like, it jumps around a lot and doesn't really like, it doesn't really make sense why these scenes are happening other than they have to happen.
Well, I think that, you know, I think they overcomplicated their own plot in order to stretch it out over 13 episodes. I don't want to give anything away, so I don't want to say too much, but I think that there's a really simple story in there that's a better story.
It better
than
be
any
simple
the...
if Danny's going to understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Than the more complicated office politic plot line that they sort of lead with. I think most of that is unnecessary. I think it's about 90% unnecessary.
Right. I feel like it sort of got, and Mass Effect also, sort of got off to like an unfair start with the critics. I feel like
this was a pretty easy target.
Iron Fist is a super easy target right now because you have a white guy doing martial arts. And, you know, a lot of the critics use that in their reviews of the show, which is, I think is like, you know, it's kind of silly. You can't, I mean, I don't want to, you know, call out Polygon here, but this just happens to be the one where I read it first, and I'm sure it's in other reviews as well. But they say, sure, this is a show where a white male character explains how to punch to an Asian American female head of her own dojo in her own dojo. And then she goes on to say, a white male character explains his martial art, which was made up by white men in the 70s. As a non-specific, I don't even know what they talk about anymore. But it's like, isn't that racist?
Yeah, that went way out there after that. Like,
yeah,
this is a comic book movie. It's not.
Also, I mean, I think, you know, and it's funny because I read that review. I read more than one review that mentioned that exact scene before I watched the show.
Yeah.
And when that scene came on, I was expecting it to be something more glaring and more insulting.
Right.
And when it wasn't, it felt weirdly like a weird thing to call out. And I'm not saying that there isn't room for the conversation. And I don't necessarily even think it's a bad conversation. But I also think it's, you know, the conversation loses momentum and it loses impact when you're trying to find reasons to justifying it as opposed to just, you know, saying, you know, as opposed to just offering up your opinion on why you think it should be the way it is.
Well, and there's a lot more to that character than just martial arts. And so if you're just going to change him so that the martial arts fit the ethnic background that you associate martial arts with, then you mess up the rest of the background of that story.
It's just sort of like reverse racist to say that an Asian person is inherently better at martial arts than a white person. There's no, as far as I know, there's no genetics in an Asian person that would make that to be true. And I'm
your house, you better hope not, because you're going to get your ass kicked.
No, I mean, Shima agrees with me that it was real. These critiques were very ridiculous. In fact, when I tweeted about it the other day, my buddy, who is a white Jew who lives in Tokyo, replied to me and thought it was ridiculous and pointed out that he teaches Japanese martial arts to Japanese people as a white Jew living in Tokyo. He's like a sword master.
Well, we're also supposed to believe that Danny Rand on this show has been studying martial arts for 9 hours a day for 12 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
In a mythical place by mythical people.
In Kunlun. Yeah. So
he still kind of looks like he's going to fall over when he's doing it.
I don't disagree with the fact that Iron Fist, that Finn Jones who plays him, who I'm sure is a very nice person.
He's a fine
miscast.
Actor. He
was miscast.
Well,
he was not the right person for this part.
He might have been the right person. He might have just not been given the amount of training that he needed to do this.
They said that they had 15 minutes to rehearse the scenes, the fight scenes before they shot them.
I don't think he bulked up enough either. He looks a little skinny.
Yeah.
He looks short at times.
Yeah.
And I say this as a short guy. I don't like his haircut.
Right.
I don't like his stupid face. Can I say that? Can I say that I don't like his stupid face?
He looks like fucking Iron Fist.
No, he doesn't.
He looks like the cartoon.
No, he doesn't. I read today, a couple of days ago, I read the first appearance of Iron Fist, which I had actually never read before, from 1972, because that's on Marvel Unlimited. They have, on Marvel Unlimited, one of the pages is, you know, get to know Danny Rand, and they just have this little greatest hits of comics of his. So I read his first appearance, which I had never read before, and he looks just like a pretty generic-y looking, very tall and muscular. And then I read the Fraction Brubaker Immortal Iron Fist 1, which is really the Iron Fist that I've actually read the most of. I read that whole series that they did because it was amazing. Shipwreck, have you ever read that?
I know nothing about Iron Fist, really.
Okay, there was a series that Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction wrote together.
Okay.
With really amazing art, I think by I'm gonna pronounce his name wrong, but Dave Asia, whatever, doesn't matter. It's really good. It's amazing, and they sort of like I don't want to say rip off because that's not really what it is. It has a weird, almost Mortal Kombat influence to it, but in the hands of some really talented writers, and Iron Fist is there. You picture, was it Liu Kang? He's like the hero guy in,
sure.
Or Johnny Cage, it doesn't matter, one or the other. But, and replace one of them with Iron Fist, and basically it's them, you know, having to protect Kunlun, and the way to do that is to basically win this tournament. And there's sort of like that storyline. And it's very good, and it's very interesting. And the first issue of Immortal Iron Fist, which I hadn't read in forever, does have him actually in New York City in the beginning. But he looks a lot different there than he does in the 1972 comic. In that one, he is smaller. But he still looks, I don't know, there's just a look to him that's different. He seems like someone that you wouldn't want to mess with. He also fights Hydra in that issue, like all of Hydra. But it's a similar situation, though, where, you know, in Immortal Iron Fist number one, Hydra tries to buy a building from Rand Industries under an alias, and he figures out that it's Hydra, and then he goes and beats them up. That's what that's about. Great. So, you know, it's nothing that if you read it, you'd be familiar with what's going on, but something about that comic book, that one issue, is better than anything I've seen on that show.
All right.
Hmm. I don't know. And that's from 11 years ago.
I just think that a lot of critics now, there's no in between, right? Either something is laughably bad or awesome.
This is definitely in between.
Yeah,
it is.
This
I agree with you.
Firmly in between, really bad and good.
Yeah, yes, but
I agree with you there, and I'll finish watching it. I'm not hating it, and I, you know, people, I'm so critical. I don't hate it. I'm just pointing out what I find. Not great.
If only they could make that opening, like the little animation with the title screen, if they could make that about 10 minutes longer than it already is.
Welcome to Netflix originals.
Why,
all like that.
Why? Don't they have data that says that we all just fast forward through that?
I don't know.
If you watch it on a computer, there's a button that says skip intro.
Anyway, I'm just saying, it's not as bad as most people think it is.
Is it typical for all these things to have a different director for every episode, too?
Yeah, yeah. The showrunner is the same for every episode, generally speaking, but it's a different director.
Why is that? That's confusing to me because
most shows have different directors.
That might be why I don't like TV that much, because I clearly see like different direction.
Different directors. It's actually a lot different on TV. Directing for TV isn't the same as directing for a movie. It is very much this sort of, mercenary atmosphere where a director comes in. It's rare for a director to do an entire series. What the real voice of a show is the showrunner, which is a different thing altogether. And you can usually tell when showrunners change on a show. So.
Great.
There you go.
I just feel like these actors are all pretty capable, but there's certain episodes, just in the three that I've watched, where they just don't seem to be doing a good job. And then they'll be fine the next episode.
I think Colleen Wing is great.
I like her butt.
Yeah, she has a nice butt.
Strong.
Mm-hmm.
She could carry a lot of stuff, I bet. She looks like she's a good lifter.
Uh-huh.
She uses her legs, not her back.
Did you get up to the sex scene yet in yes. Iron Fist?
Yeah, but don't talk about it. Don't okay. spoil it.
I assume that's the brother and sister.
Yes, it's the brother and sister.
There's some sexual tension going on that's very uncomfortable between those two.
That goes away. Maybe. I don't know. I just remember going back and watching the other shows and thinking, and while I was watching them, just yelling at the screen saying, shut up already and fight or something. Daredevil had a lot of fucking talking in it. And not
yes, Daredevil does have a lot of talking in it, but it also had Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin.
He was awesome.
And there's no one on this the problem is there really isn't anyone on Iron Fist that sort of elevates the show.
Isn't Rosario Dawson in this?
Yeah, she has a small part.
She is, but she's too, you know, she's not really there enough. It's not okay. It's not like British guy what's the other one? On Jessica Jones. Right. Like how I just called him British guy?
Sure.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, Benny Hill. Is that who you're thinking of?
Yes, Benny Hill. He was great on that.
David Tennant.
And Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes,
and,
there's no Vincent D'Onofrio.
We're talking
D'Onofrio.
About the villains, but, you know, there was just, again, they elevated that show.
Maybe it comes later. Maybe we haven't gotten to it yet.
You know, Alfred Woodard on Luke Cage. Mike Coulter, though, the guy who played Luke Cage, I thought had a really strong presence on screen that I didn't really find with any of the other heroes. I think he was the best cast.
Oh, yeah. He is. He's awesomely cast.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, too, and people will be mad at me. But Mahershala Ali, who played Cottonmouth, who just won an Academy Award for Best Actor. I mean, it's a different caliber of casting and acting.
What do you mean? The guy who plays Ward Meacham won a 2 daytime Emmys.
Yeah, exactly.
It was Best Young Actor.
Good for him.
Yes. I rest my case.
Exactly. I don't think there's anyone on this show, though, that has that. You know, there's no one really on this show with any kind of pedigree. Which
yes.
I know may make me sound like a jerk.
Racist. Racist jerk.
Is that what it is?
Elitist jerk.
Elitist. That's better.
Yeah. All right. Enough. Maybe we can't talk about Iron Fist anymore. That's enough. Too much.
Okay.
That was too 10 much. Minutes too long. I'm sorry, everybody.
That's okay.
New releases.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, wait. Before we do that, I just want to say this real quick.
Mm.
I don't know if you use Voodoo at all, Cheapy and or Shipwreck.
I have a doll of you here. He's got like 5 nail pins in the back right now.
Not that kind of Voodoo.
Oh.
The Voodoo streaming service, VUDU.
No, I don't do that.
Okay. I use Voodoo actually for a lot because it's on a lot of my devices because I'm not an Apple person.
Did we get an ad for these people? What's going on here?
No, they have a new thing that they started, I think, yesterday or today called Disc to Digital, and I did it today. It's really cool.
Okay.
If you have an old DVD, if you have the Voodoo app, you scan the barcode on the back of the DVD, and they'll sell you a digital version for like $2 for DVDs you already own.
Interesting.
Yeah. So today, you know, and they're having a promotion now where the first time you do it, it'll be free for your first movie. So
you're
upgraded.
Me I could this copy of Alf Tales, Alf and the Beanstalk that I have in my hand right now.
Right now, they only have 7,000 movies available.
Probably have Alf Tales, Alf and the Beanstalk. Yeah.
They didn't have any of the Disney stuff that it didn't have digital available, which was sort of a bummer. But my 2 Batman movies, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which I don't have digital copies of, I now have digital in digital HD on my Voodoo account for a whopping $2 total. So
you overpaid.
I overpaid. I don't think I overpaid.
You're never going to watch them.
I checked it out. I checked out Batman's Begins just to see how the picture looked. But I don't know. I thought that was something neat. And I'm sure we have people watching who have a lot of DVDs.
And are frugal.
Excuse me for trying to save our listeners money.
Right. Hey, speaking of saving you money, How about a word from our friends at Harrys.com?
Sure.
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 Well, I love using Harry's shaving products, as you know. I'm especially a big fan of their post-shave balm.
It is the balm.
It is the balm. But of course, I love their new Generation 2 blades as well, with the 5 German-engineered blades and the super blade that's on the top for getting underneath your nose and other hard-to-reach places, like your ear. Do you have hair coming out of your ear? I have hair coming out of my ears now.
I have hair coming out of everywhere.
Oh, gross. I'm sorry I asked. Erase this.
You asked.
So as you know, Harry's was started by 2 guys, Jeff and Andy, who were tired of being overcharged for blades. And they really took this seriously. And they went and they bought a factory in Germany that has over 100 years of razor blade making experience. And now they sell these blades directly to you for half the cost of what you'd pay in the drugstore. So you should go to harrys.com/cadcast right now, and you'll get their trial set for free. It comes with a razor handle of your choice, 5 blade cartridge, and shaving gel. And it's free when you sign up. Just pay a small fee for shipping. That's harrys.com/cadcast. We think you'll really like it. Otherwise, Wombat will shave your back for free.
Yes.
He won't give you your money back, but he will shave your back.
For free. That's the Wombat guarantee.
Yes. He will pay you $2 to shave your back.
And digitally.
He will digitize the hair as it comes off. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Harry's.
It's a razor, Harry.
New releases.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I know of one.
Sudoku Party for Wii U.
No.
That's what everyone wants to talk about. I got all the 9s.
Mass Effect got totally iron fisted.
It did get iron fisted.
Did it? I haven't played it yet, so I don't know. Have you played it, Cheapy?
No, I'm just being difficult.
Wombat, tell us about this game that neither Cheapy and I have played.
I know, and I think I'm like 12 hours in.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great. I've played a lot, and I'm really enjoying it.
Let me guess. It's just nonstop awkward animations one after another, and the game's totally broken.
Yes, you could see it in the face. Like my wife noticed.
I was being facetious, but okay.
My wife did notice that the faces look weird. So if my wife noticed that the faces look weird, I have some bad news for you.
Okay.
The faces look weird.
She didn't know about any of the pre-release hubbub, right?
Well, I mean, she didn't know about that, but I did point out to her, I'm like, how do you think the people look? I did it that way. And she's like, their faces look weird. What's up with their eyes? So that's noticeable.
But when you're
out playing, you know, out in the worlds playing the game and just kind of running around, you're not really looking at their faces all that much. Because, you know, you're wearing a helmet.
They're asses. Oh, the asses. That's what we need to concentrate on.
Space asses.
The ass animation?
It's not bad.
Perfect.
So, I mean, in that instance, like yes.
Is it Miranda? How does it compare to that?
It's not as good as, no. It is not that kind of.
Miranda was peak video game ass, I think.
It is not as good as Mass Effect 2 or 3.
Which is crazy, right? That's part of the reason this game is getting beat up, right? Is because it just comes from one of like the greatest trilogies ever.
Yeah, it's Mass Effect 1 has its issues,
sure,
but Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3 are probably
other than the ending.
Yeah, maybe the best, maybe the best like 2 game in a row in a series of that generation. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of argument there and room for
there's
debate.
Not. You're right.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, those 2 games were really benchmarks of excellence for the medium.
Right.
And I stand by that statement.
They were like some of the most cinematic games. Was the big draw to them was...
Yeah. They were cinematic.
The presentation.
Yeah, the presentation was great.
They changed the way that you played games and you interacted with other characters in your games and what you can do and how even how weapons worked. I mean, there was a lot of, even mechanically, a lot of things about those games that were new and unique and unlike anything we did played before. Even the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3 was very unusual and different.
Project Wombat, you mean?
Project Wombat. So this game obviously had a lot to live up to. The problem is that it's not as good as those games. And you could tell right away. It is missing something. It's missing, you know, it does feel very by the numbers.
It's missing all the people that worked on the original games.
Right. Missing all the people.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, look, there's, you know, a Salarian and a Krogan and an Asari. And yay, we're all here. And it's the same character types that you've seen in the last game, just they're just different people now. And, you know, and I'll say it, Ryder, your character isn't not as charismatic as Shepard. And I know it sounds silly because it's just a character that you create. How could it be less charismatic? It just is.
They did it.
Yeah.
Shepard was pretty charismatic.
Yeah. There was something cool about being Shepard, you know, and Shepard the Spectre is a lot more, just something about that had an oomph to it, as I say that looking at my Commander Shepard Funko Pop sitting on my desk.
I mean, of course, he was very charismatic. He had endorsement deals.
Yeah, yes, this is my favorite, you know, again, jokes like that. This is my favorite shop on the Citadel. And you know, everything about that character and seems a little more impressive than, and it feels weightier than I'm Ryder the Pathfinder. It's like, yeah, good for you. You don't care. You don't care. You don't
how's
feel like
the,
you're...
How's the writing beyond not caring? Is it good?
I mean, the basic story of it seems fairly simple. They crib a lot from, you know, it's a... To me, it feels like they sort of like stole a couple of ideas from Aliens and a couple of ideas from Total Recall.
Okay. Well, I mean, they kind of had some of the Total Recall stuff in there before, so
yeah. This is a Total Recall. You know, Mars is uninhabitable, and where's the air? That kind of an idea.
Okay,
but it's different planets, and you know, you've been asleep for 600 years getting to these other planets. That's kind of where the little Aliens nod kind of comes from, because you come out of cryo sleep. But so does everyone. So it sort of misses something when everyone's been asleep for 600 years.
How's the combat?
It's good. It's good. It's as good as any other. It's probably as good as Mass Effect 3, although it's been a while since I played Mass Effect 3.
Is it similar type combat then still?
Yeah, it is similar. I mean, you have your different basic weapons, an assault rifle,
cover
pistol,
system and all that stuff.
Cover system, different techniques for different, you know, for different damage types against shields or armor or just straight ahead damage. So different weapons do different things. Different, you have your biotics or your tech or your power things where you could do your special skills, where you could throw people or push people or set up a turret or whatever it is. Excuse me, or freeze people. I mean, it's all there. The problem is that maybe it's just me, but I don't see any of these powers that seem significantly different than the ones that were in Mass Effect 3. Like, I don't know if they added new ones and I just haven't noticed or unlocked them yet, or if it really is just the same powers.
Right.
And that's sort of a bummer. They do have a new jump system where you sort of have a jetpack. So they added more platformy kind of stuff where you're trying to, where you, you know, there's more vertical. Because you could kind of, you know, use your jetpack a little bit.
That seems... How does that work? It does not seem to mesh with what I...
Everything... The planets are all open. It's a big open world planet that you're on. That's why you have the new vehicle. So you're sort of going from mission to mission on a planet as opposed to a lot of up and down.
I don't like that either. What?
Yeah. It's, you know, the first planet...
I'm starting to see why... Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that the criticism is unwarranted. I'm just saying.
There was something nice
about
Mass Effect disguising itself as open world, but really being a series of straightforward levels.
Well, yeah.
And this isn't. This is more open world. And, you know, it's actually kind of what I predicted. To me, at least, it feels very much like what I predicted last week, where it's maybe more like a Dragon Age game, more like Dragon Age Inquisition than it is like Mass Effect 3.
Okay. I like Dragon Age Inquisition. I just, it's not on the same level of life, you know, as what Mass Effect was.
Yeah, the first planet is the Hinterlands, basically.
Is there any ship combat?
Not that I know of.
Spaceship?
I don't think so.
That's what this game really needs. Forget about the planet.
No, it doesn't. No one wants ship-to-ship.
Yes, they do. Why not?
It's boring. It's slow, usually, and boring.
Wing Commander.
How many... Can you name me all the big ship-to-ship releases that came out in the last 5 years?
Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the only one, and people hated it.
No. What about that VR game with the...
Eve.
Yeah.
Eve Valkyrie.
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot when that game sold 6 million copies. You're right.
No, but this is just... Dude, I didn't say the whole game is just ship-to-ship combat. Just put it in there, like Starflight.
I'm saying, I don't think anyone wants that. I think people would rather have a better faces.
Star Fox.
Why can't we have both?
Well, that's a different thing altogether.
Starflight.
I mean,
and
the game does have its boring start. Like, it does do the same thing that Mass Effect games do. It's like you're in this game's version of the Citadel running around for an hour.
Oh, I can't deal with that.
Is there a lot of famous actors and stuff in this one?
Kumail Nanjiani's in it. He's famous.
Nice.
And he likes cheapy.
I don't know that name. I can't.
He's a comedian.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Silicon Valley.
Who you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anyone else. I'll look it up.
It wasn't quite as household as like Martin Sheen.
No, it's not. There's no Martin Sheen.
Not quite.
No, there's Natalie Dormer's in this.
I'm bummed out now thinking about how good the old Mass Effect games were.
Yeah, no, Mass Effect 2 and 3, which in my brain sort of molded
one game
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do meld into one game in my brain, were so good. And this game, it isn't as good as those games, but that's, you know.
It's like New York, it's like pizza, even bad pizza is still pretty good.
Yeah, it's for me, that's sort of what this game is. Like, I get it. I understand that this game is not great it's not great. But when I'm not playing it, I want to be playing it.
Well, that's good.
That's kind of
I'm glad you're enjoying
something.
It. But that's also coming from the guy who liked that.
I did
Dragon
like
Age
Dragon
with one cave.
Yeah, I did like Dragon Age 2. I did complete Dragon Age 2. I think like 1.5 times. So, so I may not be the best judge of character when it comes to BioWare.
I'm
going
to get around to playing this after. Like, I'm still playing Zelda, which I'll talk about a little bit when we get to that section. But I got to play that, and then I will go back to Horizon. And then once I finish those two is when I'll get into Mass Effect.
I don't think you're going to hate Mass Effect. I think you're going to be disappointed in its shortcomings.
I'll probably like it just fine.
Yeah.
It's not the top of my list when I know that I really like Zelda and I really like Horizon.
Oh, and you could save your $10 and not buy the deluxe edition.
I did not do that. It's sitting right here.
Oh, you already own it. Okay, well, never mind.
I already own
this
game, yes.
Oh, I look forward to getting
it. I didn't think
cheaper.
You picked it up.
Yeah. All right, what else we got here in the new releases? Anything?
Let's see. For the Switch, The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus came out. That's $40.
Why?
People only have to buy something,
but $40? That seems a lot of money for a game for an indie game that's like 5 years old.
It seems like a lot of money. I will not argue with that.
It's hard to argue against that. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good game. World of Goo came out for Switch.
All right, we did it.
they're porting Wii games.
I own that on the Wii.
Yeah, it was fantastic on the Wii. It was one of the first like indie games on the Wii. And Little Inferno. Little Inferno's here as well. Right? Right. That's another game that was like one of the early indie games on Wii.
Yeah, I'm sure they gotta get whatever they can get. They had 9 games at launch. Get the shit on there as soon as possible.
Everybody's still just playing Zelda though.
Right.
The Zelda's so long that like people are just now starting to like finish it and now look around to see what else is happening with this device. But what else? Anything else? That everything game? Are you interested in that, GP, for PS4?
You know, I've watched some couple of videos on it, and I really, I don't get it. I haven't watched long videos on it because I don't have the patience for that. But just like watching a minute video, you can't really figure out what's going on. Like you're a tree that walks around, and then you can be anything in the game and walk around, even if those things don't necessarily walk around.
Right.
But other than that, I have no idea what this game is about. If it is even about anything, but maybe I'll check it out. How much is that?
How much is that?
It's not on this list. Know. Come on, Tech Dash Gaming.
I don't know. Probably $20. Seems safe bet.
All right. What else we got?
I think that's pretty much it. I don't see a whole lot. I mean, there's a few other things that came out.
Cool.
100-foot robot Goff came out for PC.
All right, that's
good enough.
Fine. Let's move on to multi-platforming into Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught and news and stuff. I didn't put this on the outline, Wombat, but the new Overwatch character came out, Orisa. I know you're very excited about that. She's a big robot that can put down a shield. Is that going to get you to jump?
Do we know her sexual orientation yet?
Robot.
So she's only into other robots?
Yeah, I'm not like totally into the character design on this one or the personality.
Or the game in general.
No, I play that game every day. I'm not lying. Pretty much every day. I like it a lot. And I wish it's a little embarrassing because I play it a lot and I'm not good. But I do enjoy it. I still enjoy it.
No, for Mass Effect, there's an app. And you don't have to do anything other than hit a button and you send out your strike team and it tells you how long each mission will take. It could take like 2 hours to 5 hours.
They had this for last game too, I believe.
Yeah. And they come back and if they succeed, then you go to your ship and you get new stuff for your character in single player.
Okay.
So I've been doing that, and I've been opening up all my boxes when I get home from work, because I'm at work, and it's not like I could do anything. I have the time to hit buttons and wait 5 hours, because I have other things to do. So it's cool.
It took me a little bit to find it, because they named the game Everything, It's $15.
Okay. So we got Playtronic has announced that Jontron... Playtonic.
Playtonic.
That's what I said. What did I say?
Playtronic.
Oh, whatever.
Could talk about JonTron.
Right.
I get it.
JonTron lost his job being a voice. I think he had a small role in the game.
I don't know that he lost his job. Didn't he? Probably still got paid for it, right?
Yeah, I think the game's already done.
Yeah.
Well, who knows if they paid him for it?
I have this game.
Is he in it? He's not in it.
He might.
He's not allowed to talk about it yet because it's still under embargo.
Right, still under embargo, so I can't talk about it yet if they've patched it.
Oh, it says he's not. He's been removed from the game.
They're removing him via patch.
Right.
Right.
And the game is not out yet, so it's probably going to be a day one patch.
Right. Well, I don't know that if they actually paid him to do it.
Oh, maybe not.
I think it was could just been like a volunteer type of dealie.
I hope this game's good.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. There's not many platformers that are like that anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think we have anything to add that we didn't cover last week. If you say stuff that's controversial, you have a right to do that, but the companies have a right to not hire you because of that. So keep that in mind. Right, Wombat?
Don't be racist is also a good rule of thumb.
In general.
Generally speaking.
Or be racist. Be racist, but don't expect to get a lot of good jobs. Well, it depends on the job, I guess.
No, president. I'm gonna go with mine. Don't be racist.
President is available, I feel.
Yeah, don't be racist. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Sure. Let's talk about Nintendo.
All right. I've been playing Zelda.
How do you like that game?
That game is really great. I think I'm 52 hours into it now.
It's a lot of hours.
It is, but it's really easy to rack up the hours when that thing is just sitting there and you can pull it up and it instantly is on.
Right. You talk about in handheld mode?
Yeah, in handheld mode. Like, you just pick it up and it's... I mean, the Vita was similar, too, where if you had it in sleep mode, it was really quick to just get back into the game. But, yeah, I found all of the... There's these photos of different environments within the game that unlock memories that Link had.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you know this, Wombat, but Link has lost his memory at the beginning of this game.
What?
I'm not sure if you're familiar with that plot device.
And his voice.
Link lost.
Well, he's never had a voice, so mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, he doesn't even... Does he even grunt? I don't think he even grunts. I'm not sure. I haven't paid close enough attention.
I say he's grunted before.
Right.
Eh.
Right. He must do that. I just don't play with the volume up very much. But I went and found...
He lost his memory, his voice, and his virginity all during the show.
There's 12 of these like locations that you have to go find and like stand on a spot and hit an A button to unlock these memories. And I found all of those, which took some time. Like, I guess you could always just look it up online.
And what's your reward for finding all the memories?
Cutscenes that aren't particularly great.
It's not a good, yeah. A good
they're bad cutscenes. that don't really like add much of anything to the story. or at least not that much to the story. They flesh out a little bit, but not.
You're not selling me on this.
It's not a great reward. Getting them is fun. Like figuring out where the stuff is at is good. Well, a lot
it's not
of
about
like
the journey.
It's just classic Nintendo where it's a great game to play. And the story just, they don't worry about that part. Like, there's the princess, there's Ganon, there's Link.
You know what to do.
Story is, right? So I've got one more of the main dungeons to go before I go and take on Ganon. So have you been playing it at all, Cheapy?
No, I'm playing Horizon now, and it's just too drastic to switch between
sure,
the two. And the
yeah,
controls
I did the
are,
same thing.
The
I
controls just, are different too. You know, they both have bows and arrows, and it's just but the controls are different. Also, visually, it's you know quite.
I'm interested to see. Like, I don't think it's your thing, just because of the visuals and the lack of storytelling, really.
Right,
but I would like to see like what you think if you actually sink some time into it.
I played a little of it. It seems okay. I can see the charm in it. Ty played it this weekend in the car for like 2 hours. And that was certainly very nice to have that available to entertain him in the backseat there. Yeah, but I'll get to it after.
Did you go to New Jersey or something?
Yes. We went to New Jersey.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was okay. Went to Jersey City.
That sounds even worse.
Well, it's closer.
That's true.
But you have to.
I still think Wombat would love this game.
Jersey City? No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Wombat will play it at some point. And I will play it at some point as well.
Mm-hmm.
How about some questions here? Here's a very aggressive question from world famous Jon Snow, Wombat.
Yes.
Why did you bother buying a Switch? Seriously, you don't have an affinity for Nintendo stuff, and we're already apprehensive. This is very un-Canadian. Very passive-aggressive. I wanted to check it out. Actually, you know, when we talked, when the NX rumors first came out, even maybe before it was called NX, and we talked about what we wanted in a system from Nintendo, this was pretty much it in terms of the functionality. Right, I'm talking about years ago. So while I wasn't interested in the Wii U, and I did buy a Wii but didn't care for it, I thought I would give this a shot, and at the very least, I'd be able to talk about it with some authority on the show. I didn't know that I had to be in love with it before I bought it.
I think what he wants to know why you didn't buy For Honor instead of a Switch.
You didn't answer. Because I'm playing Overwatch. I only have time for one big multiplayer game right now. I only have time to be bad at one game instead of being bad at two.
So what are you looking forward to on the Switch, TV?
I
guess that's the next question here.
I know that Ty is looking forward to Splatoon 2. He keeps asking me when that comes out. He somehow knows about that. I'm not particularly. Why don't you tell me? Oh, Mario. I play Mario. That looked interesting. What else we got coming out for the Switch in the near future?
Are you going to get Mario Kart?
That's a possibility, since I didn't get the first
original. I mean, it's brand new to you.
Mm-hmm. That could happen.
I think you and Ty would enjoy that.
You know, Ty and I played Snipper Clips this weekend.
Okay.
And we had a really good time. And I yelled at him slightly less than I yell at him when we play Overcooked. So I think he's a big fan.
Have you ever played Drawful with Ty and Shima?
Uh-uh.
You should.
Okay.
You should check that out. Sabrina loves that game. We played that on Sunday.
What is that on?
It's on everything.
Okay. Yeah, it's on Xbox or PlayStation. It's part of the Jack Pack. You've played it, haven't you?
Oh, maybe I have played it.
It's the one where you draw. It's Pictionary.
Yeah, I play that. It's good.
Yeah,
we played that on Sunday. We played Drawful too. Sabrina had a friend over, so we were able to play four people Drawful. It was fun.
Yeah, Ty and I mean, we were able to keep moving forward on Snipper Clips with only mild yelling. So that was pretty fun. Jeff M. Berger writes in and asks, do you think the Nintendo Switch will increase the indie games exposure to a new audience? I don't know. I don't think so.
No, because no.
It's the same audience that knows about them now is interested in them on the Switch. I think Nintendo Switch is going to be, like all these Nintendo systems, a Nintendo game delivery system. First party. I think there will be a lot of indie games on there.
It seems like it's going to pick up where the Vita left off as far as indie games go. So
yeah, but doesn't the PlayStation 4 kind of pick up on that though too? Or are you just saying for handheld? For travel indies?
I'm just thinking if, I don't know, is there like just a Nintendo audience still?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't own a PlayStation 4?
Right. Because
that's the real question.
That indie games would get to them.
But what is that ratio of people?
I don't know. One third of a person?
But do you think, I mean, look, if third party games don't really sell on Nintendo systems, this is like fourth party.
Yeah, but they're cheaper.
Okay. Like,
I'm not Binding of Isaac for $40. Right, not $40. That's ridiculous.
In theory.
Right. But like Blaster Master Zero for $10. That seems fine.
Sure, but I guess it's also the idea of, well, maybe for new, if you have a Switch and a PlayStation 4 and new indie games are coming out, I could see you maybe leaning towards the Switch if there's no real technical difference between the two, because at least then you'll have it to go.
Unless you're into trophies.
Yeah, well.
Right. I mean, obviously,
it's still weird that the Switch does not have any kind of overall
reward system.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Just like something that makes you want to stay in
Shines.
That.
They should call it Shines instead of Trophies.
That's fine.
That would be a nice throwback thing. That's
something
Nintendo
that wants me to keep, like, stay in that ecosystem.
Yeah. Oh, like, I've got 10,000 Shines. Did you get all the Shines in Legend of Zelda? Is that something? People would know exactly what you were talking about, too.
I don't know what you're talking about. Goodfellas?
Yeah, so I'm talking about Goodfellas. get your box, Spider. Oh, I got your reference.
Oh, you're talking about The Shining?
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, so I would say potentially it could expand the audience, but I just feel that Nintendo customers are going to buy Nintendo games, and indie games probably won't do much to change that.
It seems like the big name indie games, the ones that are already successful, will do fine on the Switch.
Sure, maybe.
That's why you see like Binding of Isaac on there and World of Goo and all these ones that we know.
Probably people are going to be existing customers of these games. They probably already own them on something else and they just buy it on my Nintendo thing.
Yeah, I mean I'm looking back up at the five games on the list that came out for Nintendo Switch this week. One of them Neo Geo, King of Fighters. And then the other four are all indie games that I know what they are. You got Human Resource Machine, Little Inferno, Binding of Isaac, and World of Goo. All high-profile indie games.
Right. Quote-unquote, high-profile. All right, let's move on to Sony so I could talk about Horizon briefly, just to give you an update on where
How's that going? I haven't played that game since I got Mass Effect.
Oh, it's so good. I'm level 27 now.
That's good.
But I asked on Twitter this morning what level people were at when they finished the game, and they were like at 40. So I'm not, and I feel like I've been playing this game a lot. Not that I'm looking for it to end, but I feel like I have been putting in the time. I just did the Hunting Lodge quests. I wrapped that up today. That was really awesome. You fight these, you basically fight like T-Rexes with laser guns on them. It's pretty amazing. I love the way that the robo-dinosaurs are animated, and when you're fighting them in slow motion, it's just like this ridiculous ballet of destruction, and where everything, the flames are in slow motion, the sound effects are in slow motion. It just looks awesome. It's just the combat looks and feels awesome. It's like art. And battling these giant beasts that are difficult, and you've killed me over and over again. In some games, I would find that very frustrating, but I always feel like I have a chance against these guys that I just need to rework my strategy or put a little more time into figuring it out. It's just really well done. I love it. I'm all over it. So, yeah, that's like my favorite game of the year so far.
It's March.
But there's a lot of good games.
It's only March.
I know. I think I'm going to get the power armor and try to hunt that down. But yeah, really enjoying it so far. Even Mrs. Chibi will let me play it and watch me play it rather. It's like art. Anything else for Sony or Microsoft or anything? Some CAG bag questions,
I saw some PlayStation VR games on clearance at Target today.
I saw that. You were on a roll there.
It looks like Target just went through a big clearance week. They've got a lot of games on clearance if you are looking for those.
I've seen it. I think on PSN, actually, the VR games are on sale a little while ago. I don't know if they still are, but I haven't played any VR. I don't know. All right, let's do one CAG bag question so Wombat can go to sleep relatively early, although it's too late for that.
Yeah, we're past that.
We're past that point. Jared writes in and asks, do you think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people at E3 this year because they think it's going to be a wild event? Do you think they'll try to entertain people or there'll be 15,000 people waiting in line bored with nothing to do? Do you think that – I mean – they have to be careful. E3's got to be careful because if they want people to come next year, if they want to do this again next year, they got to put on a really good show for the paying audience this year because people like to complain on the internet and video games and complaining and internet. Those things go together very well.
I look forward to reading comments from my house
about how people have waited online for 4 hours to play Destiny 2.
Yep.
I'm curious. What if they put together like a special like VIP area just for people who paid to get in? And like the media.
What if who did that?
What's that? What if E3 does that?
Well, but who's manning that stuff?
I don't know.
Putting the demos.
E3, they got money coming in from these people. They should spend it on. I don't know what they could do. I don't know what that would consist of.
I think those people will have a good time because I think the people probably realize that there's going to be long lines for everything.
And they want to see us, they just want to see the spectacle of it, probably.
Right.
They're familiar with the concept of E3 and long lines because that's the way it is.
And some of them probably are like the last day of E3 every year. You see the people who got badges from somewhere. They're clearly not
right.
supposed to be at E3, but right. they're in there and they're just like grabbing all the free stuff that's around on the last day.
The giant bags.
Yeah, the giant bags to put their other giant bags in.
Yeah. I'm sure people will think it's okay. I don't think it's going to be too controversial, but who knows? All right. Let's wrap it up on that. Let's remind everybody to go to harrys.com/cagcast to claim your free trial set. Thank you, Harry's. Follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, and at Video Game Deals. Wombat, I heard a rumor that you guys recorded the very last Uninformed Opinions.
That is a fact.
Wow. What was the topic?
We just did a wrap-up show.
What do you mean?
I did do all my Logan spoilers.
Okay.
But then we just kind of chatted and ended it.
Nice. Did you cry with our tears?
No.
It wasn't that emotional?
No, it wasn't that emotional. Well.
It's too bad. People like tears.
Yeah.
Ratings.
Next time.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bird's done.
The first electronic football games like these were for only one player.
End run.
But something was missing.
Can I play? Wait your turn.
Then along came head-to-head electronic football by Coleco.
Now we can play at the same time. I'm offense. I'm defense.
With head-to-head, you're really in the game. A power sweep. He fights through for the tackle. You pass. He blitzes. Intercepts.
This is real competition.
Why settle for a one-player game when you can have it all? Play alone, against the computer, or for real competition, play
head-to-head.
Why settle for less?